This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, brought to you by Geek Garage at geek-garage.com. The best place to get super awesome geeky vehicles from your favorite movies and television shows. And they're still finding ways to get out and see people right now during the shelter in place. Although,
yeah, we're debating what to call
it. We had a conversation about this earlier today. You can't really call them drive-bys, but they're doing the equivalent of a drive-by to like kids' heist. I mean, kids' birthday parties.
No, they're not doing the equivalent of a drive-by. That's the whole thing.
Drive-by. So what they're doing is they're taking
zero shots fired.
Yeah, they're taking these pop culture themed vehicles that they own and that you can follow and check out all their events, like I said, on the site. And they're organizing the events to where they're driving past kids' houses for the birthdays, because obviously they can't have birthday parties right now. I think they're labeling them as like mini parades or car parades or just some types of parade thing. But, we have to find something. Adam's not happy about
it. Cruise buys or cruises, but you can't really cruise
all
right
of
now.
Those,
no, cruises, all are, of those cruises are canceled right now. Cruises yeah, are canceled.
But those are so much better than, I mean, cause think about it, all you need is somebody to listen to this and hear that. And then all of a sudden there's this headline on the internet somewhere, geek-garage.com is doing drive-bys of children's parties, and it's like
nobody's doing a headline.
It could happen.
Also,
doing drive-bys of children's birthday parties, it's gonna get a headline.
I don't know if you've been on the internet recent in the last couple of years, Adam. I don't even need to say that out loud for someone to post that headline and it to that's get fair. Shared on Facebook.
That's fair. Well, we it is Adam, Iggy, Tyler, all here for this episode. And we are, unfortunately, haven't been doing any drive-bys. We've all been stuck at home. I think that was something else we were talking about. Tyler's enjoying the fact that he gets to work from the same desk he gets to play.
Oh, my God. My question is for everyone in the party is how many people, and I will put myself in this group of people, have at some point during their lives at work thought, man, it'd be really cool to be able to just like work from home, you know, roll out of bed 5 minutes before work, not put on any pants, you know, just rock into the pajamas, sleep in a little bit, log in on my computer, do some telecommuting, and then have now been forced into that life for the last 3 weeks and decided, oh, this is awful. I hate everything about it. Cause I hate everything about it is strong, but I have found, and partially I wasn't prepared for it. I haven't made good delineations in my house because I haven't had the time or the resources to like make an office or whatever. But at the same time, like I am not enjoying myself. I would really, as long as we practice very specific and safe rules about when we go back, I'm not in any way advocating for a quick return to work. I want to make that very clear. I think we should follow the experts and do whatever they say. But I am very eager to be able to resume my normal working habits.
Right. Would you feel differently, though, if you thought, like, if you knew this was going to be a permanent situation, you would have probably built a separate work area. You'd still be able to get up and, like for me, like, I'd go run every morning before I'd log on to work still. And then in the evening, you could still go somewhere. But you can't do any of those things, too. So do you think you'd feel differently if you had those options?
I mean, here's the thing. If I could get off work and then like go meet friends out at the bar or something right. like that, or go to the movies, go out to a restaurant, do something, it would probably be easier to stomach. Also, if I had known this was what I was going to do for months on end and had like made a home office that was separate from like the computer desk I sit to play games at after I get off work and stuff like that, it would probably be better. Obviously, these are not optimal conditions. I can just say that while I cannot complain, I still have a job. I'm still getting paid and I'm super right. thankful for that. I have not enjoyed the last week or two of working from home.
Right. So for me, you know, I was going to say is my desk is up in my bedroom. And when all this started, I moved my desk down to downstairs. And it's not, my living room is not, you guys know how OCD I am about things and organized. So it's not to a perfect setup of liking, but I at least have a good separate workspace there. So I think that helps a little bit. But at the same time, it's hard because that's also my only desk. So I still, like you were talking about, that's still where my other computer is, my Project Nerd work is. Everything else is still at that same desk. So I am there a lot more hours a week than I'm comfortable being there. So I understand that part of it for sure.
I'm gonna be the opposite tone here. Like, I have no problem with it. I'm enjoying working from home. I've got less space than either of you two do, and another person in that amount of space also working from home. There's a lot going on in my 400 square feet, but it's great. No, we set up in the morning. We set up our table, which is not normally set up inside. We set it up inside in our front room. Get our coffee and tea going, plug our computers in, we log in, start working, get to lunch, stop, have lunch together, take all the computers and everything and sit outside if the weather's nice, do that. Oh, it's great. I love it. I'll tell you what I have done though, Tyler, is it's made me reconsider. I've always been a proponent of I'd rather work 4/10s than 5/8s, and I don't think I would like to do that now.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I work 5/10s anyway, so
I might as well. I make it sound worse than it is. I will say that the one thing that I noticed over the last couple of days that I have not done in years, which I think speaks to, like, I've managed to do work that I enjoy and I find engaging, is with the specific, like, because the work I'm doing now is not the normal work that I normally do, so it's different and it's not something I get a ton of energy from. But for the first time since maybe school and or some jobs that I didn't really enjoy that much, I have find myself all day like checking the clock to see like how long it is until my next break or until lunch until I get off. And I honestly can't remember the last time I did that at work. So that's not a great sign, I don't think, counting the minutes and hours. So well, here's the thing. It is hopefully temporary, and I'm glad to still have a job, so I'm not going to complain too much, but
right.
I'm excited to go back and interact with other humans at my job.
I also, majority of the weekdays, have two other workmates there that have to be basically taken care of because they're children. And again, another situation to where I think what I was asking you, Tyler, about if you had you knew this was a long-term thing, a permanent setup. If my kids weren't there all day doing their work on the same internet, you know, like I would possibly feel differently as well. Cause as they've said, all the parents understand it. You're also being a teacher or parent and working from home if you do have the work from home situation set up, but I don't know. It's interesting. It is.
Yeah, I don't think I can overstate how much better this would go if I could just, cause I'm obviously isolating alone. I don't have anyone else in the house with me. So that part of it has become, as someone who values his alone time in a big way and is a big fan of like being alone and not speaking to other humans, it's been awful. And I guess I can't overstate how much probably easier it would be if, you know, I could like get off work and leave the house and
right.
go over to someone's house or go to the bar, or go to a restaurant, go to a movie or something with some people. That would be nice.
Very fair. Very fair. Well, that is the situation right now. We are in May, though, and I know in a lot of places they're starting to slowly open things back up. Around here, there's a lot that they're doing a lot of the curbside for non-essential is, I think, what we're really starting to see here in Colorado. But still, a lot of the things that I would normally do close. But I think either way, we've talked about it. At least through the end of May, I'm not risking certain things. So this is but I did at my job, they did send us a survey this week to ask to kind of get a gauge to how everybody felt about going back in the office. And the majority of us are like, no, not until this is like cleaned up, like till this is taken care of. Like, we're not ready to rush back in there. That's for sure. So although we might be a little exhausted from working from home all the time, still not interested in going to go sit back in that office with people that could be sick. That's for sure. But I don't know. A lot of screen time. I think too, that's something we've been sharing with each other is we've had a lot of screen time. Which, speaking of, we have a lot of screen time things to talk about because that seems to be all the news right now and everything too. So last time we met a couple weeks ago, I mean, there's always a lot going on, but not to the level of what we've seen the last couple weeks. There's been a lot of announcements, a lot of news, and a few feel-good stories. One that I was really excited about we shared over at Project Nerd was the Andy Serkis reading The Hobbit for NHS Charities. Did you guys catch a glimpse of that at all on Friday?
Yeah, a little bit of it. I mean, you got to check it out, right? I didn't have whatever he ended up doing, 10, 12, 13 hours. I didn't have that kind of time on Friday. But Friday here, so I mean, going to NHS charities, Friday here was a bank holiday, so everything was already closed, but it was going to be closed anyway for holiday. It was also the 75th celebration of Victory in Europe Day from World War II. So big day over here, you know, the cessation of hostilities on the continent. It was pretty cool. So you could look out my windows and see, you know, Union Jack flags out and stuff like that. And it was pretty neat. They did a countrywide 2 minutes of moment of silence at 11 o'clock. And I don't know if Andy,
he did recognize. Yeah.
Did he? Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. So 2 minutes, a moment of silence for VE Day at 11. So everybody did that. And it's really neat. The collective, I don't want to respect or like the idea that here that is, it's so much of a bigger deal, like specifically the ending of the war in Europe at the end of World War II. And the coming together that this country did.
What was the bigger deal? Because everything was being fought over there. Like it wasn't our land being attacked over here in the States. So it is a much bigger deal.
The end of the Blitz was a big deal.
To stop like homes being invaded and things like that. Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, it's pretty wild. It's cool. And then with Andy doing his stuff, I mean, it's a cool thing. It definitely is a feel good story for sure.
At start, they had raised over £100,000 already. I don't know where they ended up. I'm sure we'll hear about it this week, but that was really interesting. So some good money. See some really good charities. What's that? The older gentleman who did the walk the circles in his backyard to raise all that ended up raising over £1 million. Like, and even got promoted by the Queen too. It's a pretty cool story too. So I don't know. I did check in a couple times and was hearing him reading, and he was definitely doing voices and everything too. So he was really
That's honestly the most impressive part. Like anyone who listens to this podcast, where I enjoy talking a great deal, and I also enjoy reading a great deal, and I enjoy reading out loud, and I could not keep that up I don't know if I could keep it up more than a couple hours, let alone 12 straight hours, also while doing voices. That's something else entirely. I've sat and read out loud four people or two people for an hour or two, and like basically barely been able to function afterwards.
Right. No, for sure. So yeah, that was one cool thing that was going on. Something else that cool happened that dropped this weekend is for all your How I Met Your Mother fans, Robin Sparkles returned for her song. She updated the Let's Go to the Mall song with Let's Not Go to the Mall, which is pretty great. But How I Met Your Mother creator Carter Bays and the writer, one of the long series writers, Craig Thomas, who helped write the song originally, stepped back in with her to help write a new version of it. She plays it on the piano. You can find it over at Project Nerd. That's pretty fun. I know my son was a big fan of that show, so I sent him over the video of it too. So it's got some good Canadian stereotype accents going through it and everything like that. Also kind of reminded me of the good parts of that show, because I feel like for the most part, most fans feel like they have a bad taste left at the end of that show. So to kind of get some good, fun stuff from earlier in the series.
If you go back and you watch it, Ted Mosby's kind of a dick. Like, I mean, when you really get down to it, you're just like, man, this guy is not the best kind of, not the best kind of people.
Ted's
funny, but he's not a good guy. And so when you go back and you watch it, you're like, man.
I think the general consensus from most, even like hardcore fans of the show, is that Ted sucks. Like, Ted's kind of a dick and he's the worst, but it's okay because Barney's cool and Robin's cool and everyone else is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'd say so. A lot of shows like that you revisit, like if you've seen any Saved by the Bell stuff, like, and obviously they've made a whole web series out of it. Was it on Funny or Die with the like Zach Morris is trash or whatever? And now that show's coming back, and actually he's supposed to be back in the show, and it's like he's a politician, of course, is where he's ended up, is what his role is going to be. So makes a lot of sense. But it's like you watch some of these characters that you're like, man, these were really terrible people. These were really terrible people that were kind of highlighted as the fun protagonists.
Well, I mean, there's a bit of like just certain humor doesn't age well, like the amount of jokes that you see in things. Like, there's some things that are that are evergreen, and because of the themes they talk about and the jokes they make, they're going to be fine forever. But then there's some that you go back, and even like beloved ones that you don't really remember, and then you'll find this random joke in it, and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot that was, that's problematic. Like some of that stuff just doesn't age well. There's a lot of like classic, you like you go back and you do like movie marathons and go back and watch like some classic, like for instance 80s comedies. You go back and watch a lot of 80s comedies, you're like, I did not remember how much blackface was in all of these movies. So much blackface in 80s comedy movies between Fletch and Trading Places. And like a lot of those movies, you're like, oh yeah, that's a clown scene. Then you go back and watch it. Like, oh, there's an entire scene with Dan Aykroyd in really offensive blackface for like 20 minutes. That is not awesome.
Yeah. Doesn't age well, obviously. But those are just some of the, well, not the blackface part, but the other stuff, some of the fun things that are happening right now.
I mean, even like simple things. Like, do you think back to like the 90s, how prevalent / how acceptable really like homophobic humor was. And you'll see that in sitcoms all the time from like the 90s. You'll watch one and you'll see a joke and like, oh wow, that does not on my ears now. You're like, wow. But then back then you're like, no, that was literally that joke probably got made on every sitcom that aired on that network right. for years. And was totally okay. If anything was like a cliche joke at that point.
Yeah, which makes me think, I didn't look too much into it, but I did see the headline that fans are demanding Robert Downey Jr. to apologize for his blackface in Tropic Thunder now. And it's like some fans have got...
Ooh, wait, what?
Yeah, there's a headline of that people have...
That can't be real.
There's,
I mean, it's sure probably...
It is silly. Anytime you say it can't be, let me remind you...
What timeline we're living in?
Yes, what timeline we're living
in. That, I mean, that's...
But what, I feel like you've missed the whole point of it, right? Like that's,
yeah, I think the whole point is the point that he is doing that, and they're all right. already, everybody's already angry at him for doing that. And the fact that Hollywood, like Tyler was just saying, just openly casts him and pretends like it's nothing. So the Hollywood aspect of it's just like, whatever. It's the whole set. It's like the
stuff. But like that one was done in, there's two reasons that Robert Downey Jr. got away with blackface in that movie. Now I'll take that back. There's three reasons Robert Downey Jr. got away with blackface in that movie. Reason number one is the framing mechanism for it was in fact a send up of whitewashing and pretentious actors thinking they can do anything, because he's not playing blackface. He's playing a super pretentious actor who thinks he can inhabit any role, like a right. Daniel Day-Lewis kind of character who then goes through a procedure to physically make himself black to play the role. And it's like a whole, it's a joke inside a joke inside a joke. Like it's this whole meta commentary on whitewashing and blackface and pretentious actors and stuff like that. So that's level one. Level two, the reason it worked is it's really well done in an incredibly well-written movie and super funny. So like it's just a good movie. And usually when things like that are put in movies, they're not good movies to begin with. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of the shittiness of the movie is, oh, and by the way, it also has someone in blackface among all of its other sins. The third reason that he gets away with it in that movie is everyone was too busy being mad at Ben Stiller for Simple Jack and playing the use of the R word. You could like, we only have so much attention and we only have so much outrage in our body, as Trump has proven to us. And you couldn't, you had to make a choice. Are we going to make fun of the guy going quote unquote full retard? Or are we going to make fun of the guy in blackface? And we chose to go after full retard.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That last one, especially. It reminded me, that is not even, and not only that too, the whole movie is littered with political incorrectness. But like you said, it's definitely in a commentary from a commentary standpoint.
It's so. Like the one situation in which you could get away doing it in a way that like, I think serves the story and isn't done for like the cheap laugh. And that's the, I mean, I think that's the barometer you use. There's definitely right. times when you can do it and it works. And that's like, they found like the one loophole that works. And now that people are retroactively trying to be shitty about it, like that's dumb. There are way better things to be angry about in the world.
Right now there's plenty.
Than that character from Tropic Thunder 10 years ago.
But talking about things, how about something to be happy about and another kind of cool, actually, to lead into this, I'll say, if you go over to projectnerd.com, so project-nerd.com, at the very top, we've got a few extra banners up there for you to find some resources for what's going on right now, creator spotlights, but of course, our impactful story timeline. And within that, we've had some cool stuff. So we're mentioning the Andy Serkis thing, you know, Robin Sparkles, go to the mall. But the original April O'Neil, so Judith Hogue, is hosting the 30th anniversary of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies Zoom pizza party. So I believe it's on the 23rd. So it'll be in just a couple weeks. You can log into Zoom, join them for a virtual pizza party where you have to order your own pizza to hang out with some of the original cast and crew of the first live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. I'm pretty excited for that. I'm going to tell you what. I mean, it's not like I'm going to be doing anything else this month, so I might as well jump on a virtual pizza party.
I mean, that could be a good anniversary gift.
That's right for you.
My anniversary is right. It's just a couple days after that. I mean, that could...
All you got to do is pay for the pizza, man.
We eat pizza a couple times a week anyway, so that's fine. That's easy. That's an easy
one. Right? That's the easy part. There you go.
So what I got to do between now and then is sneak in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and see how the wife reacts to it. Then I'll know how much I can get away with for an anniversary there.
Yeah, so it was released on March 30th, 1990. Kevin Eastman already did like some kind of Zoom special, but more on the comic side of it, to where he had some of the original creator and artists and some people that were involved on. Not quite. This one's supposed to promise more of the cast and crew. I'm hoping Sam Rockwell will show up for this. Like, I'm ready for, want some Sam Rockwell in this one. Do you think his role was big enough in the Ninja Turtles movie for him to make a cameo here in this watch party?
I mean, who else are they going to get?
Well, I mean, you have Corey Feldman just showed up for the Goonies one. So I feel like he would show up for this one then.
You think
so? Because you have the voices people. I mean, the only person, like the problem is like the with voices. Most of those movies, most of the people don't really, the only like character from those that like continued to have a career after that, I feel like, is Elias Koteas. And I don't know that he would show up for it.
Yeah, he's been, because he's been really, he's like, serious, like,
well, he's like a real actor.
Oh, excuse
me. I mean wow. He went on wow, he's the kind of person who would be like, yeah, that was some fucking thing I did for money when I was whatever, I'm a real, you know, I don't
it's
know
the
how
Ninja
I,
Turtles. He, it's the I, Ninja Turtles,
you get that, I love it too, but he went on
I feel like there's some shade being thrown here, Tyler. I don't know how
not,
I feel about
I'm
this.
I'm not trying to throw shade. I mean, I'm speaking for him. Maybe he really loves that movie and will totally come back to speak about it, but I don't feel like that's a
what
thing.
What you don't know is he stole the mask when the movie was over. He's
got it hanging on his right. Hanging in his living room, like right. He's so proud of it. No. I mean, you have a lot of people that may not be names, but I think it'd be really interesting to get some of the Jim Henson team out there to talk about the animatronics and the puppet part of it, right? Or you have, what if, you know, maybe if Eastman was to show up on this one too and talk a little bit about the connection between the comic to the movies. And then, like I said, the few voice actors, I think really the only one that really had a big name past that was mentioned Corey. And then Sam Rockwell, who had like a small thug role in the movie, who has gone on to be a big actor, but he was with that. Or maybe even like, you know, people from future installments of the Ninja Turtles that could still go back and talk about it and how it impacted them or something like that. But she did say original cast and crew, so I don't know.
So I'd actually just looked something up because I was just curious if there was any other like voice actors in it that maybe I just had forgotten about who did more in the movie than I thought. And as it turns out, the voice of Splinter is Kevin Clash, who, if you're not available, right, aren't familiar, worked for Jim Henson Studios for a long time and was Elmo for like 20, 30 years. He is basically who people think of as Elmo.
Right. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you get that voice and get a lot of Elmo happening in that. But I don't know. So you get some good pizza, hang out. Josh already asked me to. He's like, does he still have that April O'Neil costume from Chicago that one year? Because if he wears it to it, he's like, I'll show up. I was like, I don't know. You guys have to come find out.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So a lot of cool things like that happening for sure. Let's just. I'm just gonna run down these since we have some of the headlines and I have a few of them open. Of course. The big news on the Star Wars, well, there was tons of Star Wars side because the Star Wars, you know, day was last week, but you got, you got the new movie from Taika Waititi. You already
so pumped.
What? Yeah, you already had the new series announced, but it was kind of reiterated, talked about more from the Russian Doll co-creator and showrunner. That's going to be woman-led series that has nothing to do with the Skywalker saga or characters. So that'll be interesting. You had a lot of toys announced. Of course, they did announce for those that a lot of people collect those Funko Pops. And so you got a few more different of the Baby Yoda or the child Funko Pops. And then what's really cool, I don't know if I'm willing to spend it because they're about $25 to $30 a piece, but there's the Empire Strikes Back anniversary set for Funko Pop where there's six different oversized figures that are going to be able to come together to like make one big diorama scene. And I'm like, maybe I do need some Funko Pop. I don't know.
It looks amazing. Yeah. But yeah, some of the toys announced at Celebration, like some of the Hot Toys, some of those like big, like 1/8 inch, like the Stormtroopers and the IG-11 and the Mandalorian. Oh my God, they're so beautiful. I really want one, but I'm not going to spend money on them, but I really want one.
Yeah, her universe obviously launching a whole nother line of clothes. We saw some, you know, there was the Geeky Tikis, the Tiki mugs that have been popular over the years. Some more of those, some of the huge, like there's that giant Jabba the Hutt one with the little like shot glass for, so some pretty cool stuff. A lot of things happened, but by the end of the week that didn't actually happen on Star Wars Day was an announcement for The Mandalorian that we would see Tamara Morrison show back up as Boba Fett.
Super fascinating.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe do you think he'll show up as any of the clones too? I mean, he could obviously play a lot of roles in some Star Wars stuff. There's a lot of possibilities there.
I mean, I think canonically, I don't know if that period in time, like the clones were mostly done, I think, at that point. So I don't know. And Dave is usually pretty canonically correct. I feel like they definitely hinted at another Mandalorian-esque character in the episode back on Tatooine where, what's her name? The actress from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and why can't I think of her name? Michelle Yeoh, where her character gets killed and then like someone comes across her body and you just hear their feet clank and like, it might have ended up being who was the, what's his name, Moff Gideon at the end. But I think there was also some people who thought maybe it's Boba Fett on Tatooine or something like that. So, I mean, there are definitely a series of books that are now legends in the expanded universe where he survived the Sarlacc pit and went on to do many adventures after the original trilogy. So I'm curious to see. I mean, I'm more excited to see what they're going to do with all the rumors that they're doing, that Ahsoka is coming to the Mandalorian. Cause
what's right? It's Rosario Dawson, right?
Apparently Dawson has been cast to be Ahsoka, and Ahsoka's story finally got conclusion because they just wrapped up the new season to wrap up all of Clone Wars, and the end of her story was really cool. Like, she's like one of the characters of the new canon that I think is really, people have really, like, early on people were kind of like, who is this? And like really latched onto, and then when she showed up in Rebels, it was super cool. So I'm curious to see what they do.
Right.
But I'm just excited for more Mandalorian because it was so good. What did you, I mean, you finished it since the last time we talked, Adam. What did you think of the end?
Oh, it's so good.
I forgot.
It's so good. Yeah. And you guys were spot on. You told me about the opening scene and it being really good. And it was quite good. With the two stormtroopers on the speeder bike troopers.
Jason Sudeikis and I can't think of the other guy's name, but yeah.
Wait a minute.
Rattle. You just want to look at it.
Super good with the
blast. Did you not hear that he just killed like 100 of his own guys? Do you not get that? Because I get that. Do you not get that?
It was really, really good. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And obviously the ending was good.
Did you cry when IG-11 died?
I did not, no. It's a droid. I don't, yeah, no. I am...
As an IG droid myself, I felt a personal connection there.
I can. Yes, you are. I can tell by the sound of your voice. There's no need to be said. I mean, that's, if nothing else, like, I mean, I've loved literally everything Taika Waititi's ever done in his career. I actually just rewatched Hunt for the Wilder People the other day and loved it. But that episode alone is enough for me to be like, I need him to direct a Star Wars movie. Because that's the one episode he directed, and it's maybe the best episode of the whole set.
Well, I mean, so like, thinking about it, when I stop, and there is no fandom that I have that I wouldn't be super excited to hear he was going to write and direct a movie for. Like, there's not one. He could do literally any of the stuff that I love. Like, if you were like, oh yeah, we've signed on Taika Waititi to do the Last of Us movie, I'd be like, that's going to be amazing. Like, he's going to make that so fucking good.
Could he make a good Assassin's Creed movie?
I'm sure he could.
There you go.
I mean, because he'd give it the right amount of, you know, humor and seriousness. And I mean, he's just so good at all that. Like you said, Hunt for the Wilder People is an absolutely phenomenal movie. And it deals with some pretty heavy shit. Like, I mean, it's not just a straight comedy by any means.
Do you know who's behind that other door? Yes, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Yes.
But you laugh the whole time. And horrible things happen. And Sam, I mean, yeah, it just is. He's so good. I'm sorry. I can't even talk about it.
I don't know. I think, yeah, I mean, he's excited for Star Wars for sure. I don't know if any trilogy, but I would think most geek or nerd type things, that comic book adaptations, at least if you wanted to go that, or, you know, franchises that would fit in the Star Wars realm, would be something. If you're like, name one director that could cover these, how many different franchises, he would definitely be a name I would throw out there for sure. Yeah, I think it does.
I just need someone to give Edgar Wright another shot at a comic book movie. I mean, I love, obviously, Scott Pilgrim. That's a little bit different than your standard comic book. And then there was all the problems with Ant-Man, but I think it's his time has come to get another shot at it. And then
yeah. I don't know why DC hasn't tried to go at that. Like, now that they're actually expanding their directors.
I feel like DC has tried to go after a lot of really good directors, and a lot of really good directors have looked at that dumpster fire and said, no. I mean, how many times did they switch directors on Flash? Do they even have director for Flash now? Flash went through like 17 different directors before it was even in pre-production.
Right.
Like, no, every week, it's like, there's a new director for the Flash movie. Like, I don't even know anymore.
It's because they keep going back and screwing up the timeline. So, I mean, they can't help it. They get so far into the story, and then all of a sudden, everything gets rechanged. I mean,
damn it, Barry.
It's Barry's fault for sure.
But no, I mean, not to shit on DC, but yeah, I would be excited to see him. But like,
yeah, that's not something Nerdcast would do. We would.
Yeah, we've done it so many times. It's at this point, like, we're not even kicking a dead horse anymore. we've dug up the bones and are like bashing each other over the head with them. But I really, Taika Waititi, I mean, he can do no wrong right now. Between the Thor movies and then Love and Thunder, everyone is super pumped about the What We Do in the Shadows television show is on its second season right now, and it's still amazing, if not more amazing than it was before. What's his name? Fifth Element, little boy. Haley Joel Osment is guest starring this season and the first episode. He's going to be a vampire coming up, and it looks super exciting. Haley Joel Osment's role was really good as a new familiar, and it's that gets under Guillermo's skin, and it's really
good. Did you call
good.
Him the Fifth Element boy?
I was trying to say the Sixth Sense boy, and I said the Fifth Element.
Wrong okay. number. Wrong number.
Fifth Element is like on the wall behind me. I can see it right now, and it made me think.
I was like, Luke Perry? Is that?
Wrong number.
Right. And then you went Haley Joel Osment. I'm like, what the hell?
Sixth Sense boy.
You don't remember him in that
kid,
movie?
The kid from AI. The guy from Sex Education. Or Sex Ed. Is that what it's called? Sex Education is the TV show on Netflix.
He's not on the TV show, which the TV shows are really good.
I love the TV show. There's a lot of stuff on Netflix right now we need to watch. You said you watched the Middle Ditch and Schwartz thing. Was that good?
Yeah, which we'll get into. I think we'll spend the back half of this really kind of doing what we did last time and really just talk about what we did. But I did want to
How did we get here? Oh, we were on Star Wars. Sorry.
Yeah, I want to cover
derailed
one more,
everything. I apologize. Right?
One more headline before we do. Last week, we shared the trailer for Becky, a new independent film on Project Nerd. And did you guys catch that trailer at all? So Kevin James plays a like psychotic skinhead villain in it. That's like, yeah, you need to watch the trailer. It is super, like, I'm just on board to see Kevin James do this role, just to see what's going on here, because it is definitely interesting looking. So it was definitely swirling all around the internet on Friday. We posted it as well. You can head over to projectnerd.com into the movie section. But yeah, Kevin James, big swastika tattoo on the back of his shaved head, like looking for a key from a family that's on vacation and like chasing down this like girl that has the key. Like, it's, I don't know about the movie itself looking so great, like, but it's definitely him. I'm like, I want to see
Joel McHale is in it too.
Oh, Joel McHale's like the dad. Yeah. Like, he's serious in it too. Like, there's like a scene in the, in the trailer where like, he's getting like tortured or something. So like,
I mean, the screenshot is pretty horrific with a girl with a knit cap, face covered in blood, holding a bloody bundle of like colored pencils. So
right, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Should be interesting. But
interesting is definitely a word for
it. Right. So obviously tons of trailers starting to come back out. A trailer we'll probably share this week that I do want to get on the site they released. They dropped his special. I didn't realize that. So the one movie that hasn't been pushed back past July of the big movies being released was Judd Apatow's Universal release for King of Staten Island. I did not know Pete Davidson was going to be the star of that movie. I don't think Pete Davidson's that funny. I'm going to be really honest. They've had a stand-up special come out. They've kind of crammed him down our throat the past couple months. And now I realize why, because he's about to be in the big comedy movie of the summer. Universal decided not to push it back. It's still coming out June 12th. It's going to be out on VOD, so video on demand choices. The trailer did drop this past weekend. We'll have it up on Project Nerd. It looks really good, guy. Like, he looks really good in it, too. I was actually shocked. I was surprised how good it looked. Like,
Did you watch his stand-up?
No, I saw clips of it, and I'm good with that. That's all I need. They either pick the worst parts of the clips, or it's just really... I don't think... I had a conversation with it about, and I won't go too far off the rails on this, but he's one of those types that I'm hoping this role shows him in a different light, because Jimmy Fallon's a great example. I think Jimmy Fallon's not a good actor at all. I cracked up tons of times at him at Saturday Night Live, but only because him and Horatio Sanz could never make it through a scene without laughing. They could never keep it. His movies were terrible.
Don't paint Horatio with that brush. Horatio is fine.
But anytime he was with Jimmy Fallon, they couldn't handle it.
And
so,
most of Jimmy Fallon's movies are really terrible. I will die on the hill that Fever Pitch is actually pretty okay.
Oh God, no. So anyways,
it's not a great move. It's a perfectly adequate romantic comedy.
So him in his role as a late night show host is like great, like really good. And I think we've seen other people come out of Saturday Night Live the same way that weren't perfect in a certain scenario, but work somewhere else. Any skits I've seen with Pete Davidson Saturday Night Live, I really haven't been overly impressed, to be honest. And no, I did not watch his stand-up because I saw like the trailer for it and the clips for it. And not one joke in those trailers made me even want to laugh. A few of them made me even cringe. So him and Adam Sandler did release the quarantine song that they put out on Saturday Night Live, which was pretty funny. I will give him that. But again, this is one of those movies where Judd Apatow looks like he's going more on the, I think 50-50 side, as I would put it, as opposed to like straight up like
funny people.
Yeah. Or something. There's definitely a serious element to it and a growing up like drama element to it. And the trailer looks really good. So check it out if you haven't. Did you watch the stand up, Adam?
I did watch it. Yeah. I mean, I don't watch Saturday Night Live, so I knew nothing other than this guy is famous.
Famous for like dating Ariana Grande, right? Was that who?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's definitely famous for that, but also is on Saturday Night Live.
First of all, not just Ariana Grande. Pete Davidson.
Well, he's dating
Kate Beckinsale.
What?
Yeah. You know, dude, Pete Davidson crushes it. Like, he's always, every time you turn around,
he's got to have a
dude pulls.
Like, he's got to.
You do, you know,
he's packing. That he's got to.
You know, he's the origin of the phrase "big dick energy."
Okay. That I have
Ariana Grande said it about him, and like that's when BDE became like a thing.
Oh no, I did not know.
Instagram post in which Ariana Grande referred to Pete Davidson as having BDE, and ever since that post, that's when BDE became like
I didn't know that was a thing. I'm like, we've been talking about him this weekend, and I'm like wanting to shout across the house right now to like, hey, I found out why everybody loves Pete Davidson.
Here's the thing. I still try to catch most of the sketches from Saturday Night Live every week just to see what they're working on. He is pretty good, but he's very hot cold on me. He's not, and I've watched the stand-up, he's not a stand-up comedian. But he's doing storytelling, he's doing some stuff, and it works. It definitely probably doesn't work as like, here's a clip of a thing that Pete Davidson said in his stand-up, because he's not a joke guy.
Right, that's and what a lot I was going to say, is right, when either. You watch it, they're it's a story altogether. Yeah. Right, it's not
as funny. As a story, it's fine, segment. But he's also not a stand-up comedian. He's not John Mulaney. He's not, you know, Tom Segura. You're not going to see someone who's like hitting punchlines one after another, or who has got this structure down. Like, obviously he's had people work with him on it. So, but I there's plenty of things about him that bother me, but he is seems like a perfectly okay dude who's got some problems.
Well, check out the trailer. It's got thick, it's got that thick Northeastern accents happening in there. Looks pretty fun. Some really good actors in it as well. Steve Buscemi seems to have a fun little role in there as well. But yeah, he looks impressive in it. I don't know. Maybe I'll check out the stand-up. But I don't know. Those are the few of the trailers that dropped. And Kudos. I want to see what happens here with Universal doing that. Not at all that surprised that they decided to keep it as VOD, considering the whole, let's talk a little bit about something that we, did we get into it last time, or did it happen right? I think it happened right after we recorded last time when Universal and AMC decided AMC to go to war.
Just said, yeah, let's do it.
We're going to war. Like, all I can think about is that scene in Starship Troopers where he's walking back into the base, like, oh, we're walking, theater's going to reopen. He's leaving to go to the base. He's like, turns around and you got all the studios and theaters running by. I go, we're going to war. Like, that's all I could see. So I don't think we covered it. I think it happened that week that the last episode came out, because it was a couple weeks ago. Universal released information about how Trolls 2, which was released on VOD because they didn't push the date back. All the marketing had been done and they knew, like, hey, parents are looking for kids' movies. Released it. In that time span, it made more domestically than the first Trolls movie did at the box office in that window. And in doing so, one of the heads of programming at Universal just made a statement that we are looking at possibly releasing a lot of movies on both VOD and in theaters again once theaters open up. I took that as a, hey, we're going to consider, you know, releasing more movies via VOD. I didn't think of it as we're going to release every movie across both at the same time. And it, apparently over time, I think as the conversation evolved, that's what he meant, because AMC, as Tyler was just throwing his fingers, AMC basically came in with both middle fingers up, like, yeah, this is, screw you, we're not, you know. And Universal's got, like, the new Fast and Furious. Like, they have a few franchises. I know they're not Disney, but they got a few franchises that can bring in some ticket sales. AMC said, we're not going to show them. We're not going to show them any more movies again. If they're not going to keep to the same agreement, because there's always been that kind of unspoken agreement, what, 5 to 6 weeks in theaters before, and yeah, some bigger movies even longer.
It's not unspoken. Like, with
theaters. I'm sorry, unwritten.
No, but it's not unwritten either. Like, there are definitely agreements between those companies that say, like, there's a 90-day window in which you cannot put this on another service if you want to show it in our theater. Like,
right.
That's in a lot of contracts. Now, granted, every movie has a different contract and all these things get renegotiated every time, I think. But I don't know.
So a big conversation.
Neither person's in the right on this one.
Like, right. So they said, AMC said, we're not showing it. And Cinemark even came and said, too, okay, we're not showing it. Tim League over at the Draft House has come out, because they were, while all this is going on, the Draft House Theater is releasing their own VOD platform to survive this, has come out and been like, well, come on, guys. These two things aren't competing with each other. And of course, he had to say that, because then, like, a week later, they announced their new platform. But yeah, AMC was definitely, and those statements were very strongly worded. You can head on over to Project Nerd to check them out. It is an interesting scenario. So not at all surprising that the big Universal comedy for the summer is going straight to VOD.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's a lot to unpack there. One is like, movies get released direct to VOD all the time, but they're typically the kind of stuff that used to be direct to video. It was like the shitty sequel or the weird knockoff or whatever that no one knew about, that got bought up by some small studio that's a subsidiary of another small studio that's somewhere up the chain owned by a Universal or someone like that. And it got put in a bargain bin at Walmart like a week later kind of thing, but was on a shelf at Best Buy for, you know, 10 minutes. And then there was also things go to VOD because they couldn't get big distribution. So then a smaller distributor said, hey, we're going to put this here. But then that all changed when Netflix and Amazon started saying, no, we're going to spend billions of dollars and we're going to straight to VOD like Scorsese movies. Like, we're not just messing. We're going to put Oscar winners out in not theaters. Like, that changed it. And then obviously COVID changed it. Like, I think Universal, there's got to be more going on. Like, I feel like this is a salvo in a bigger battle. Like, I feel like this is something that probably Universal or other studios have been wanting to do for a while, and this situation opened the door for them to, like, kind of test the waters and not get a lot of public backlash for it. Because here's the thing, I don't care how much money that movie Trolls 2 made in VOD. It's a sequel to a popular kids movie that came out during a pandemic when parents are starved for entertainment for their children who are stuck at home. That number is not a good statistic. Like, at no point could you hold that number up and be like, see how well this did? Every movie from now on that we release on VOD will do just as well as this. Like, eventually things are going to not maybe return to the normal that we knew, but are going to go back to some form of normal. So you can't, like, that situation enough is, and nor do I believe that Universal is really making a decision built based on that one thing, but it opens the door as an excuse to say, like, hey, we're going to try to test this out. On the other side of it, of course, AMC has to react that way, because AMC's just barely got their head above water. They've, you know, furloughed everyone. Like, they're probably two steps away from, if not one step away from, full insolvent, like, bankruptcy. They have to come out hard against this sort of stuff early on, right, or they just, like, they can't let these things go uncommented on, because it just makes it easier for them to get pushed to the side, you know, right, 6 months.
And they were, as you mentioned, they were already struggling before this whole shutdown thing even happened. They reported a huge loss last calendar year, everything like that. I think it's a big thing too, but it's, I think you gotta be right. Like, there's gotta be more to it. And I think for a while now, studios have seen the success of Netflix and all that. And almost all of these, like Universal, obviously NBC Universal, you got Peacock, their streaming platform coming. You have all of these studios that are also networks, that are also whatever, that are releasing these platforms and testing this VOD out and releasing it for a limited time on there and then putting it on their platform where they're getting the monthly subscription. Like you said, you're seeing Netflix do it so well that they're all going to take a look at how that works and everything too. But for some people, you see a lot of people comment immediately, or I saw a lot of people comment immediately that, man, $20 for a 48-hour rental for a movie is ridiculous, but they're thinking of themselves. It's these are the people without kids, because when you really think about it, for Trolls 2, $20 for a VOD rental, really good, considering if you have a family of four, how much is four movie tickets plus popcorn, plus probably dinner before or after the movie, right? Like, everything else that's involved that night, as opposed to ordering some pizzas in and spending $20 to have it. And then the kids can wake up Saturday morning and watch it again too. So
yeah, I think that's the other thing. I don't think people who complain about that understand that a movie like Trolls 2, in the 48 hours that you rent it, just like old video store, right, I don't think you appreciate how many times the kids can watch,
oh, yeah,
that,
exactly,
watch that thing
yeah,
in 48 hours.
Yeah.
They're going to get a solid 3 or 4.5 watches in, you know,
exactly,
in 48 hours.
But on top of the fact, you're talking up to $60 alone in just the movie tickets, not to mention anything else for going that night if it's a family of four, family of five, like, consider those people. So yeah, VOD may not be idea for somebody who's paying for one or two tickets and wants that night out, but for a family who just had a long ass work week, it's a kid's movie. Like I said, let me order some pizzas. Let's rent this movie. And then, hey, in the morning when you kids wake up 2 a.m. early, because I had to drink all night after the movie was over, because I was stuck watching Trolls 2 for 2 hours, you can just throw it back on and watch it yourself. So
the songs are very catchy. There's also, I think, something to be said. I mean, you wouldn't want to do this with your big tent poles. Like, I don't think you're going to see Universal do this with Fast and the Furious or anything like that. But if for some of your smaller movies that were never going to be, you know, $500 million behemoths to begin with, why not just take the path of least resistance, make almost as much, if not as much money as you were going to make in theater, and not have to compete against Disney, you know, like, I don't have to even play the game.
Right. Or even let's talk short term. Let's talk about the fact that theaters may not be at full capacity for upwards to another year after they open up. Right. Like, so if I have, you know, Christopher Nolan's Tenet coming out and I want to show that across 8 screens now, because I can only fill up a theater half, maybe a quarter of the way I normally would. And then now these smaller movies that would have had screen number 24 at those giant theaters, right, aren't going to have a spot to be. So it makes even more sense for some of these studios to put those ones on VOD as well. I don't know, but a lot of conversation there. I think I'm trying to organize a special podcast this week, so I'll let you guys know. Obviously, the audience will know once we air it, but trying to organize one that just looks exclusively at the theater, like, future for it, with the High Five guys joining us as well. So we'll keep you posted on that. We got about 12, 13 minutes left. Tyler, you hit on a little bit about watching certain things, so I wanted to spend, like we did last time, since everybody's stuck at home streaming a lot of stuff, what have we been watching, what do we feel about it, recommend it, stuff like that. So I don't know, let's dive into it. What'd you guys stream this past, I guess, couple weeks?
I've been there. Finished The Mandalorian, obviously. Stayed on Disney Plus, watched and finished The World According to Jeff Goldblum, which is just a delight. Jeff Goldblum is a truly, truly wacky individual.
I do love the way you say that, though. He's just a delight.
He is. He really is.
It's not Rob.
His, I don't know, passion, it's not even correct. It's just curiosity and genuineness, I think, is really what it is. It just seeps through the screen, right? It's obvious, you know, he'll say something goofy and you're like, oh, he's making fun of these people. And then you look at it and you're like, oh, no, he's not. Like,
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we really enjoyed that. And other thing we've been doing is Community. I'd never seen Community. Never seen a single episode, never seen anything. And so it was like, okay, well, I mean, it popped up on Netflix. I'm like, man, people have talked about this. I know for sure. And then you look at all the people that are in, you're like, good God, how they get all these people in this? And you watch it and, well, it's because it's hilarious. And you get to the end and, oh, created by Dan Harmon. You're like, this is all making a lot of sense right now. Why I really enjoy this show. You also say all these
people in it. Like Alison Brie wasn't quite Alison Brie. Donald Glover was not quite to the level Donald Glover is now. Right.
Oh, he was still barely anybody at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joel McHale was the talk soup guy.
Point.
Yeah. He's talking
about the only person on the show
Ken Jeong and Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
I mean, even Ken Jeong wasn't that big. He had done Knocked Up. That was it, like at that point.
Right.
That's before
I think that's
Hangover.
I think it's before Hangover. I have to double check.
It's right in there somewhere. Yeah.
It's in that same wheelhouse. But yeah, Chevy Chase was like the only name I feel like on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
And then all enough, those people went on to be huge.
And funny enough that you bring it up now, because Joel McHale, talking about him being in that thriller, Becky, but with Community being such a big streaming one, he's done some interviews lately and he talked about, like, he goes, people think it's weird that, like, because no, that's what he says. I was the talk soup guy. I think he was quoted as saying, I would have given my left pinky to get on that show after I read that pilot. He was like, I wanted that so bad. So,
well, so they just recently did an online table read and
that's
got
right
everybody
that's
back yep with Chevy. But also prior to that table read, Joel McHale and King John have been doing a podcast together every week called The Darkest Timeline, where they just talk about things that are happening right now. The Darkest Timeline is obviously a plot point from a specific video, the episode of Community. If you've never seen it, that's an amazing episode. If you've ever seen the GIF of Donald Glover walking into an apartment with a sack of pizzas and seen everything on fire, that's the Darkest Timeline episode.
Well, how far, I was going to actually ask Adam, how far are you in it?
So we've done pretty good. So it's been, I mean, definitely last time we recorded, we hadn't started it. And I think we're in season 3. So we've seen the Darkest Timeline.
Have you done, how many paintball episodes have you done?
At least 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we've made it to a third one yet.
I'm trying to remember what season is the Halloween episode where, like, Abed has like an entire storyline going on in the background of every scene that you don't see until you see it.
Yeah, that's a good
one. That's 2, right?
Yeah, it's in 2 because I helped birth a child earlier this year, you guys. Yeah. When did you do that?
that was one of those ones where you kind of notice it, and then you go back and watch that episode, and you're like, oh my God, they filmed basically 2 episodes and didn't even show you the other one. Now I just want to go watch Community again.
Yeah, it's really good. And again, half hour episode, so you know, you're not committing to a long thing, even though we'll sit there and watch 5 or 6 in a row, and so like we could have watched a movie, but you know, you got 20 minutes before you're going to go to bed, fire up episode of Community, watch it, and have some giggles. That's what we've been doing and really enjoying it.
Tyler, anything exciting you've been watching?
So I really want, speaking of Dan Harmon, or maybe that also connects then to Justin Roiland. I really want to watch Solar Opposites. We'll see.
They dropped all 8 episodes.
Yeah, it looks a little, almost, I mean, like, here's the thing. As much as I hate everyone who likes Rick and Morty, I still really like Rick and Morty. It just has literally the worst fandom. And that's saying something. Like, as a group of people who spend a lot of time at conventions and a lot of time online, there's some really terrible fandoms out there. But wow, those guys are special. That said, I do want to try it out, see what it is. There's a lot of good voices, and it looks fun.
Real quick, too, I saw some people who did start it, and multiple people I've seen comments said it feels almost like classic Invader Zim, which made me even more interested in
it. I enjoy that. I like that idea. I really want to get – I started watching Upload on – Amazon Prime, which is, speaking of all these other shows, that is Greg Daniels' new show. And Greg Daniels obviously worked on The Office and Parks and Rec and did stuff like that. And it's a sci-fi episode show where it's in the near future, where when you die, right before you die, you can have your brain uploaded into like a luxury VR like resort. But there's a lot of weird sci-fi, a lot of other stuff going on.
There was an Emmy award-winning episode of Black Mirror.
It's true, but it just got renewed for a second season. So, but
it looks interesting. I didn't know Greg Daniels was in it.
Greg Daniels is the creator and the director of it.
Him and Steve Carell they did just drop the trailer for Space Force too.
Space Force, Netflix series. So I started Upload. I'm only a couple episodes in, but it starts out pretty fun, and it's an interesting concept. They've done some neat stuff with it. Other than that, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. There's just stuff is popping up left and right on Netflix, and I feel like I'm spending so much time sitting down at home, working from home, that I can't, like, sometimes summon the, and this sounds dumb, summon the energy to sit any longer and watch something on television.
We talked about it last time. I think we're on the same page with Yada. That's like, it's just hard to feel, just to invest in something else mentally.
But I really want to watch Hollywood on Netflix. I think that looks super
interesting. I started that one. Yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld's new comedy special just dropped. I'll probably watch that.
I did watch that too. And I watched the Dave Chappelle, Kennedy Center, Mark Twain.
Oh, over. Yeah, that was really good.
That's very good.
I probably will watch Middle Ditch and Swartz at some point. What else? I don't know. What else has come out?
So I did start Hollywood. It's interesting. There was definitely some aspects of it that they didn't really advertise in the trailer. Still some really strong acting in it, really interested in it. The Middle Ditch and Swartz, it's only three specials. They're about 50 minutes long. Hilarious. I was, especially the third one, I think I was in tears at some point, and how quick they are on it is so fantastic. But then them having to do it for an hour and create all these characters and stay with it, when they mess up, it's even better because it's even hilarious when they get each other off of it. But I did Dead to Me also drop season two, dropped this weekend. We watched the entire second season on Friday night. First season of Dead to Me was really good. And the way they wrapped it is not the way they made season two open. So it was very clear they wrote a complete season one. They were happy with it, did really successful. And then Netflix is, all right, we need season two by the same time next year. And they're like, oh, okay, well, let's make this happen. Let's make this happen, make this happen. It does kind of come together better about halfway through and towards the end. I was not happy with the end of season two. I won't go into spoilers, obviously, but it had its ups, it had its downs. You talked about Hail Caesar a couple times last time we recorded, Tyler. So I showed that one to Aaron and watched it again. And it is, I agree with you, it's a very underrated movie.
It's such a good movie.
I love it. It's so weird, too. It's just it's
so weird.
And Channing Tatum in it just, is hilarious.
Tatum's good. What's his name?
George Clooney is fantastic. Yeah.
George Clooney, every scene with George Clooney talking to the guys in The Blacklist is just because he's so clueless to what they're saying, and it's brilliant. But I love, I can't think of his, Han Solo, young Han Solo.
Eldridge, who, or what?
Why can't I think of his name? Eldridge, God, he was Han Solo, and he's in Hail Caesar. What's his name?
I just remember him as overshadowed by Donald Glover. That's his name in my mind.
Plays the the little Western star who's trying to be serious.
Alden Ehrenreich, because he has some great scenes because he's like the Western star who's trying to get into like real movies, and he has that scene with Ralph Fiennes where Ralph Fiennes is trying to get him to do the line reading of whether it were it might be one of the funniest scenes that the Coen brothers have ever written in their entire life. And it's literally just two people repeating the same line to each other for a solid 5 minutes. And it's pure brilliance.
It's great. That's on Netflix too recently added. So I did watch that one again. I do like it. So I don't know, a lot of good stuff right now, but we are running short on time. So I still try to get the series together. So head on over to projectnerd.com. You might see where we're recommending what to watch each week. We're trying to get a few of those things together, but you can also check out all the other amazing content we have on at projectnerd.com. And of course, if you're picking up this podcast on the Project Nerd podcast feed via Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you're getting it, remember we have multiple podcast feeds, tons of podcasts. Go to projectnerd.com, project-nerd.com/podcasts. And you will see at least a dozen podcasts, including our brand new Learning to Play Dungeons and Dragons podcast, where one of our pro nerds is teaching people some of the basics of it. Episode 2 just dropped with basic character development. Episode 3 is diving deep into like races and subclasses and everything for people. I know Adam just is starting his campaign, and we've talked about it some. I know Tyler, and hearing this is just getting me even more excited for wanting to play some more D&D, but check that out. Obviously, other podcasts coming soon. We've long promised you #sportsball. Of course, when we were going to start recording that, well, there was no #sportsball, but we are definitely going to get that going as there are some things evolving and some cool stories happening there. All kinds of podcasts, but all kinds of content too. We mentioned a lot of trailers we're dropping, a lot of the other articles, a lot of cool things, keeping you up to date on everything that's happened in the coronavirus world that we're in right now in this pandemic. So resources, feel good stories, you know, the stuff we you want to read about, good people doing good things. So check all that out. And of course, get out there, get online. Well, don't get out there, get online out there and check out your local, you know, your local creators, local comic shops, your friends, those artists, all those people you normally see at Comic-Con. Remember, they don't have Comic-Con right now. Not even through July, even the big San Diego Comic-Con is canceled. So make sure you get out there, support them, buy their stuff online. They can ship it right to you. Check it out. I don't know. That's about all I got. Gentlemen, any last closing thoughts? We won't do a round of final thoughts because we're at time, but anything we should throw out there before we head out for another week or so?
Be safe and we love you.
That's a sweet one, Adam. That was
really
sweet.
I can't top that one. Be safe and we love you.
There we go. Awesome. All right. Well, until next time, be safe and we love you.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.